Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Palermo is Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. Right now, we welcome in Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff Palermo?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay. How are you doing in Baton Rouge with LSU football?
There's a lot of grumpy people walking around.
Yeah.
I've just noticed that this week. You know, not as cheerful, and there's a level of concern. I mean, what many people thought was a team that seemed bound to be a college football playoff team. I'm hearing a lot of people saying, well, they may only win 8 games this year. So it's amazing how one game can change everyone's perspective, and we'll have to wait until a week from tomorrow for maybe that perspective to change when we see LSU take on South Carolina on Saturday night.
What have they been doing this week, Jeff?
Well, a lot of this week is first of all, let's start off with Garrett Nussmeier. We got, I don't know if it clarification is certainly not the word, but maybe a little more detail on what's been bothering Garrett Nussmeier. Brian Kelly called it an ab strain, but said he did not re-aggravate the injury prior to the Ole Miss game or during the Ole Miss game. But he's been taking a lot of mental reps this week. So Michael Van Buren has been the quarterback that's been taking snaps with the first team offense. The other thing that has been they've been working on this week is you potentially could have two new starters on that offensive line when they play South Carolina a week from tomorrow. Weston Davis suffered a concussion in pregame warmups against Ole Miss. So you saw Carius Kern, the true freshman, get the start at right tackle. That may continue. And then Paul Mbenga, he suffered a sprained ankle in the Ole Miss game. So you may see Cohen Eccles starting in left guard. And I think the thing that we've heard Brian Kelly talk about a lot during the 3 times that he has spoken publicly this week is just more attention to detail offensively. And I hope that cures what's been ailing them on the offensive side of the ball.
I see you got a story here at WWL.com, and y'all can go to WWL.com, see Jeff's stories on LSU, always some very informative stuff there. But talking about Rowan Davey and what he had to say about Garrett Nussmeier, talk about that if you would.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Rohan, and he's one of those guys, of course, former LSU Tiger, led LSU to a win in the 2001 in the Peach Bowl and all that. He talked about how he just felt that there was one. He thought that there was something certainly bothering Garrett Nussmeier. That's his belief. It just doesn't seem like he's not able to get the extension that he normally gets when he throws the football down the field. And then the other thing, the word that he brought up a lot during the interview I had with him is that the team just looks disconnected on offense. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not working as a unit. And maybe some of that is, Tommy, and this is what you have to guard against. This is what's the concern in this NIL transfer era. You know, when you go back to those great offenses, obviously in 2019, and then when you look at 2023, the 2 years that LSU had Heisman-winning quarterbacks with Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels, I mean, Joe Burrow and those guys, Terrace Marshall, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, those guys at least, they were going into their second season together. There was a togetherness there with that group. You can say the same thing in 2023. the great combination between Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. Those guys had played together the year before. This year, you throw in, you know, Berrien Brown, Bauer Sharp, Nick Anderson. You're trying to work in some new running backs and Harlan Berry, some new offensive linemen. And maybe that's – and granted, there has always been change in college football, but now it's even – there's even more change because of the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Are those days gone forever?
And so I think it's just harder sometimes. Sometimes it just doesn't come together. I mean, I think that's what you kind of saw last year with Ole Miss. You saw, especially on defense, a lot of great defensive players on that team, but they never were really able to come together. Now, you might say, well, Jeff, the defense has got a bunch of transfer portals, and they seem to be playing more of a unit. Yeah. Sometimes it does come together, but I think there's more of a risk nowadays, Tommy, that when you try to build these teams on a fly, sometimes it's just a lot harder to get everyone on the same page. But in the end, I think the biggest problem, and I don't know if a bye week can rectify this, Tommy, is just the offensive line has not been very good. And if you don't have a very good offensive line, that's where it all starts. And if you can't perform there, then whatever you try to do is just not going to work. And it also, it makes it easier for opposing defenses to defend you when you can just put eight guys out in pass coverage against five wide receivers, four wide, whatever it is, five guys that are going out in to catch a pass. You're just outnumbered. And until this offensive line somehow comes together, locks in, and actually helps provide a running game and gives more protection to Nussmeier, this offense most likely will continue to struggle throughout the year.
I think by the nature of it, too, defense is going to come together quicker than offense.
Yeah, you know, when you the old adage, especially at the beginning of a preseason camp, you hear coaches say this all the time: "Hey, the defense is ahead of the offense. Mm-hmm. You know, the offense has got to catch up." And I think that there may be some of that going on here. But is this bye week that LSU's experiencing right now, is that enough time for this offense to catch up? I don't know, because now you're, as I mentioned it before, you got two more injuries on this offensive line, so now you're shuffling in some new guys, and so going back to what I said at the beginning, Tommy, there's just a lot of people in Baton Rouge frustrated and angry because I don't think anybody thought on October 2nd we would be having this conversation about the offense.
I got somebody keeps texting me ready to run Brian Kelly. Before you do that, you better have somebody better to take his place, first of all. 621,
and you need some money to do that, too.
Some money to do it, exactly. And it's not just coaching, it's recruiting and everything else in transfer portal. 621, more when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, every Friday with Jeff Palermo is Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. Jeff, of course, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Surely, Jeff, and I don't mean to call you Shirley, but other teams in the SEC are dealing with the same kind of thing, right? Not necessarily a quarterback with some kind of abdominal issue, but offense that has kind of been put together over the offseason because of transfer portal, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue a lot of teams are facing, but I think it's still while that is an issue, I still think the biggest thing is the offensive line, Tommy, and mm-hmm. it's been a problem here for a while, especially running the football.
How do you get a concussion in pregame warmups? I don't understand that.
Not only that, but he also broke his nose. I mean, that's very weird. Brian Kelly didn't provide any kind of detail.
Did he have his helmet on?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
that would explain a lot if he didn't have his helmet on.
He had his helmet on. I don't know. Have no idea. And again, Brian Kelly didn't provide any detail. But getting back to the offensive line issue, it's been a problem, you know, since Brian Kelly has really arrived here. This offensive line has struggled, and It had four guys last year that got the talent's there because you had four guys that were drafted last year, but even that group struggled to run block.
Yep.
And this year they are struggling to run block. And granted, it is a much more inexperienced offensive line, but the same problems continue, or the same type of problems have been there the last few years. The first 2 years, and we've talked about this before, Tommy, it got covered up because Jaden Daniels was such a dynamic athlete and can run the football, and he can rush for over 200 yards like he did in a game against Florida. I mean, so that covered up some of the ills that you had with the run game. And because Daniels was so dynamic, you never really saw it. But last year it was a struggle when they really needed to run the ball. They could not. This year,
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They really can't run the football at all. They had some success against Clemson. Thank goodness they did, or they wouldn't even won that game. So can they fix it in a week? Doubtful, but can it get better? Can it at least get improve a little bit? Hopefully. Kane and Durham, Brian Kelly said on Wednesdays, looking better. Remember, he missed the Ole Miss game with a sprained ankle. That I think they really need him. They need him to be the dynamic running back that many people expected. The odds makers in Las Vegas had him as the favorite to be the leading rusher in the Southeastern Conference this season. I don't even think he's in the top 10 right now. He has not had a very good season, so they got to get him going and try to play better complementary football coming out of this break.
Who's behind Garrett Nussmeier?
Michael Van Buren.
Tell me
about him.
He
started at Mississippi State last year. Didn't look that great.
I remember him. The Van Buren gang.
Yeah. He actually had a very good game against Georgia last season. We saw him in mop-up duty against Southeastern Louisiana. He looked particularly sharp there. But at this point, Brian Kelly's going with Garrett Nussmeier. He's going to try to make this thing work. I don't. There's no quarterback controversy at this point. So Nussmeier is the guy, and it's up to this offensive line and the Nuss bus to get this train back on the tracks and rolling in the right direction.
Hope the young man's healthy. That's all I hope is that if he's not healthy, I hope he gets better so he can play to his best. Thank you, Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. We'll take a break, come back. Talk to a professor and director of the political management program at George Washington University, Todd Belt, about this government shutdown. I'd like you to text me at 504-260-1870. Are you buying the Republicans' line that it's the Democrats' fault? Are you buying the Democrats' line that it's the Republicans' fault? I've been doing some thinking here, and I'll tell you what it is after the news right now with WWLZ and Ozan. 6:45, quarter till 7, so most of the rain is gone. 30% chance for showers in the metro today and tomorrow. Most of it will be along the coast, but then Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, into the afternoon, some heavy showers predicted. Maybe street flood watch, be aware of that. We're getting ready to talk about the government shutdown. And, you know, I try to look at each issue independently and try to figure out, because I am not a member of any party. I used to be an independent. Then, according to the state of Louisiana, I am no party affiliation. So I try to look at policy and issues and what's best for me, what's best for the country, what's best for me now, what'll be best in the future, what's best for the country now, what'll be best for that, who needs help the most, et cetera, et cetera. And I've decided, Todd Belt, professor and director of the political management program at George Washington University. First of all, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm okay. I've decided that's too hard. I'm not going to do that anymore. It's too much work. I'm just going to pick a side, either R or D, and get in line and go along with whatever they say. That's what a lot of people do, isn't it?
Well, it is what a lot of people do. But if we look at the most recent polling on this shutdown, we've got 47% of the people blaming Republicans, 37% blaming Democrats, and 23% blaming both. So there's almost a quarter of Americans who are blaming both sides on this. So you're in good company, not necessarily taking a side on this one if that's where you want to be.
Well, it's just, I'm just saying, I'm tired of doing my own thinking. I really am, because it can be exhausting, and I guess that's what it can be, don't you think?
It is. There is so much going on, and there is so much messaging going on from both sides you have to try to keep up with and try to figure out what's actually real, what's false, what's just hyperbole. It is. It can be overwhelming.
And I can see where for a lot of people it's easier just to say, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but everybody's got lives and they got this to do and that to do. It's easier just to say, you know what, that sounds good to me. Let's go with that. They're right. The other guy's wrong, whether it's on the Republican or the Democratic side. Either way, I'm going with them and screw the other guy. But that's not the way a democracy is supposed to work, right?
Well, it's not. And when the framers designed our Constitution, they wanted us all to be, engaged and informed citizens. But I don't think that they really anticipated the tremendous, overwhelming fire hose of information about politics that we're facing every day now.
It is all about messaging, is it not? Because I think you can talk about the government shutdown, if you will, and what led to it and why the Democrats are digging their heels in. Talk about that, if you will, please. What led to this, Professor?
Yeah, absolutely. This is there's two things to this. There's the political side and then there's the policy side. And certainly Chuck Schumer took a lot of criticism from his party when he was going to shut down the government in March. The House voted with him. Jeffries in the House voted with him against it. And most of the Democrats in the Senate were behind him. Excuse me. And then he shifted his position at the very last minute. He said, I don't want to give Donald Trump too much power during a shutdown. I want to keep the government open. And then so fast forward to today, and he took a lot of flack, and his position as being the head of the Democratic Party is really in question, because a lot of people are speaking out against him, and he has decided he wants to take this stand, and this is the hill he's going to go to war on. And the things, the concessions that he wants are Obamacare subsidies continued. They're expected to expire at the end of the year. He wants to reverse some of those cuts to Medicaid that are part of the Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. And he wants something that will require Trump to spend the money that has been authorized by Congress. You might remember that Donald Trump has rescinded or paused the funding of some of the money that Congress has authorized on a number of different programs. And so those are the three demands. So the Democrats are forcing this shutdown because they want to get some concessions. And usually it's the side that is asking for concessions that gets the blame. And even though the polling is good for the Democrats right now, this could change pretty quickly as people start feeling some of the pain.
Why did Schumer choose this hill to wage his war upon?
I think this is because, like I said, number one, he's facing a lot of criticism from his party for not standing up to Trump, which, of course, is difficult to do when the Republicans control all three branches of government at the federal level. And secondly, healthcare is a very, very popular bipartisan issue. In our GW politics poll, we found it that when people say what government should focus on, the economy, of course, is number one. It always is. And the second is bringing down the cost of healthcare. And this, and if you ask people about should Medicare cover home, home health care and a bunch of different things, you get results in the 80s, 90s, and sometimes in the 70s on all these different types of things that they think government should do to help people, because health care costs are really high in this country, and it is a real bipartisan issue. It affects everyone. And so the Democrats think they have a winning issue here. The question is, can they talk about it and leverage some concessions in a way that is not going to backfire?
We have a text line. People are texting and saying, well, why didn't the Democrats just agree to this clean resolution here? And again, that being in quotation marks, this clean resolution here, and negotiate health care later. We'll talk about that when we come back with Todd Belt, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. And I began by saying it's hard to do your own thinking because healthcare, look, we go back to the Obamacare debate 20 years ago, and it all seems to me it comes down to if healthcare, just like any issue, the economy or anything else, if it works for you, you don't want anything changed. If it doesn't work for you, then you want it changed, and it goes to who it's working for and who not and who it's not. And sometimes you get in line with the wrong party because you think it's working for you, but it's really not. We'll discuss when we come back. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Todd Belt, professor, director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. Professor, if the government had not shut down, and that means if Chuck Schumer had not or had allowed some things procedurally in the Senate, am I right here or not?
The whole thing is, it has to do with the filibuster. In the Senate, you need 60 votes to move, to shut down debate and move the bill forward to a final vote. So it's actually a procedural vote before you get to just the majority up-down vote. And this is the way that minorities have been able to stop majorities from what they see as going too far.
I think technically it's cloture, is it not?
Well, you're exactly right. I've been using the more vernacular.
No, I understand that. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm just saying that's that's why I can kind of get in the weeds here with the procedure of the Senate. But if, for whatever reason, the Democrats had chosen not to shut the government down, and I hate to put it all on them, but for whatever reason, if the government had not shut down, would the Democrats be in a weaker position down the line? How many more weeks would the government have been in operation until we faced it again?
Yeah, well, if they voted for the continuing resolution, then we would have had time until, I think, about Thanksgiving to get the 12 regular order bills that fund the government passed. And they would have had time to do some more of these subsidies, but they chose now as the time to do this. This is the, I guess they thought they could get more people paying attention than if it came around Thanksgiving. So I think there were some strategic calculations going on here.
So who winds up eating this with the midterms approaching? Or does it have any effect on the midterms at all?
I think what the effect on the midterms is really going to depend upon how this gets resolved. And I think there's a couple of different ways it gets resolved. I think one of them is that they negotiate an up-down vote on each of those three concessions that the Democrats want. And then the Democrats get the Republicans on record as having voted against the things they wanted, and they get material for the upcoming midterm elections. But generally, the midterm elections, the number one issue will be the economy. And if it's good, it'll be good for Republicans. If it's bad, it'll be bad for Republicans, because the president's party usually bears the brunt of the economic conditions as we get towards the midterm elections.
How does the public view the economy right now?
Not great. Consumer confidence is still pretty low. And in fact, one of the things that we're going to be missing is an important indicator that was supposed to be released today. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is shut down, and we were supposed to get their jobs data today. We've had better than expected growth, even though the jobs numbers in the last quarter were pretty bad. So people are worrying, are we going to get what was called stagflation, which is low growth and bad jobs numbers? But the growth has been there. The question is, are the jobs going to be there? And we just don't know because of the shutdown right now.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to Joe Geruso about the mess in the city with the budget when we return on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.